Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, welcome everyone. It's good to be back in the studio with you live. I've been gone for a month, and I want to say I hope you all had a wonderful July 4th yesterday. Eric Ryder is here with me. Did you have a great time yesterday?
Good afternoon and happy day after Independence Day, Vicki. I had a fantastic time.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say I've got my mom and stepdad up visiting from California, and We took them down to the Freedom Fair in Tacoma, and they saw the fireworks, and they seemed to have a good time, and you know, I had a great time. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. I actually missed the fireworks myself because I'm very jet lagged.
Oh yeah,
I hit the Freedom Festival because I was up at 2:30 a.m. and I went down there, and I didn't know that the Freedom Festival was on in Tacoma.
Well, but how could you? You're British, so Fourth of July, it's a little thing we do here in America.
Somebody actually asked me if I celebrated the Fourth of July. I said, you don't know me very well because I celebrate anything. Any excuse to celebrate. But yeah,
I like that attitude.
I went down there too, and it was fun. But I actually was in bed by the time the fireworks came out, I'm afraid to say. I pooped out. I couldn't hold out any longer.
Well, I would have liked for us to have a little more summery weather for it, because it was kind of chilly. And this is the first 4th of July that I could remember actually being kind of in a sweater and bundled up and going, it's kind of chilly today.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I can remember a couple because I moved up from California, and it was a big difference the first couple of years I was here. So, but I had a great time, and I just wanted to thank you for running things while I was gone.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Yeah, things went very smoothly, and I had a great time, you know, filling in for you on one show and talking to Gordon Grice. That was a lot of fun. So,
good.
Anytime you want me to step into your shoes briefly, I'm happy to do that. So.
Would you like high heels or flip flops?
I'll go for the flip flops. Slightly more manly.
Ever so slightly. So, do we have our guest with us now?
I believe that we do.
All right. Well, let's jump on in here. And I'll get back to you at the end of the show, Eric, because I need to announce something at the end of the show today.
Fantastic.
And my guest today is New York Times bestselling author. He's one of my favorite authors, and I'm not just saying that. I truly have read every single one of his books. But his new book was born at the same time as his son. It was born, he says, in a moment of unbridled love and pure naivete. And when his book came to fruition, he assumed Cat Stevens would be playing in the background, and Norman Rockwell would, of course, be resurrected to paint the moment. Brad Meltzer is my guest. He grew up with Story, and I'd like to just bring him on straight away, and we'll talk a little bit about some of his background and then his new work. I will tell you that he's the new number one New York Times bestselling author of The Book of Fate, as well as the bestsellers The Tenth Justice, Dead Even, The First Counsel, The Millionaires, and The Zero Game. He's also a co-creator of the TV show Jack and Bobby, and won the Eisner Award for the critically acclaimed comic book Justice League of America. We're going to talk today about his first nonfiction book. It's called Heroes for My Son. Brad Meltzer, welcome.
Thank you very much, Vicki. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm pleased to have you here. I truly have read all of your books. I don't read a lot of fiction, but when I do, I always go for that thriller suspense genre, and your name is right up there with the best of them.
So I appreciate it.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your background, Brad. I read that you grew up with Story. Your grandfather was a great storyteller. You've been writing, I think, most of your life. How did you become a novelist?
You know, I started when a job that I went to after college. I graduated the University of Michigan, and I came out of there, and I was going to go to law school, and a guy said to me, named Eli Siegel, said, I'm going to be your mentor. I'm going to take you under my wing. I'm going to teach you everything you can. He said, don't go to law school. you should come to Boston, and you're going to love it here in Boston. And if you hate it, you can leave with some money in your pocket. And if you love it, you can stay. And I thought, that's a good deal. I'll try my hand. He worked for a magazine, so I figured I'd give it a shot. And the week I moved everything to Boston, I moved all my stuff to Boston. I didn't go to law school like he had suggested. And the week I got to the job, he left the job. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I've wrecked my life. Mm. That's it. I've wrecked my life. It's over. And I thought to myself, you know, what should I do? And I did what all of us would do in situations where we thought we wrecked our lives, what every listener I know of yours does when they think they wrecked their lives, and that is, I said, I'm going to write a novel.
Right. And
I mean, it was literally a lark like that, Vicki. I said, I'm going to take a shot, and I started writing. And every day, I just fell in love with the process. And I should tell you, that first book was not The Tenth Justice, my first novel. It was actually a book before that. But my first one that I wrote got me 24 rejection letters. Now, to be clear, there were only 20 publishers at the time, and I got 24 rejection letters.
Yeah, that's good going.
Yeah, that means some people are writing you twice to make sure you get the point. But I said, if they don't like that book, I'm going to write another. And if they don't like that book, I'm going to write another. And the week after I got my 23rd and 24th rejection letter, I started what became The Tenth Justice and really got very lucky with that one.
Yeah, I read that you had a novel published before that, but it was published by Kinko's and remains on your shelf.
it remains published by Kinko's. It's still to this day is.
So you become a father. You become very successful as an author. Your wife is an attorney, as I understand it. Does she practice law?
She used to. She used to practice working in the Capitol for the House Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was, is right as she was finishing her stint there, we had our first son in Washington, D.C. And the night my son was born, I said, I'm going to write a book for him. I'm going to write a book that lasts his whole life. And one day I'll give it to him, and the clouds will part, and rainbows will come down from every direction. And it will truly be the greatest moment on the face of this planet. And I went home that very first night that my son was born, and I started writing rules for him to live by. You know, I said, be nice to the fat kid in class, and I just thought I knew exactly what I was doing. But the truth was, Vicki, I had no idea what I was doing because I didn't know anything about being a father.
Mm.
And then a friend of mine told me this amazing story about the Wright brothers. Because that every time the Wright brothers would go out to fly their plane, they would bring enough materials for multiple crashes. That means every time they went out, they knew they were going to fail. And they would crash and rebuild and crash and rebuild. And that's why they took off. And I said, I love that story. I want my son to hear that story. I want my daughter to hear that story. I want them to know if they have a dream and they work hard, they can do anything in this world. And I said, that's the book I want to write. Not a book of rules, but a book of heroes. And I started collecting for now almost a decade. I've been working on this book, collecting heroes throughout history, from Jim Henson to Rosa Parks, to Mr. Rogers, to Jackie Robinson, to Martin Luther King Jr. And the goal was, is I built this book called Heroes for My Son, so I could actually give him proof that anything's possible collecting these heroes for my son.
Mm. One thing I think you said in the introduction was that this isn't a book about how to be remembered. It's a book about how we live our lives and what we're capable of on our very best days. And I think that's a key factor, you know, what we're capable of on our very best days. And you also asked the question, is that schmaltzy and naive? And you said, I hope so, because I want my son to learn those things too.
Yeah, you know, what I is so important to me, you know, I looked around and I realized our kids today, and I don't mean young kids, I mean older kids, college kids, grown kids, 35 to 45-year-old kids, all of us, we model what's around us. And I feel like, you know, we always complain and say, oh, there aren't any good heroes anymore, there's no one left, but there really are. And I said, I want to show what we're capable of. And so, for instance, Thomas Jefferson's in the book. But not because he wrote the Declaration of Independence. We all know that story. What he's in the book for is because he never took credit for writing it until after he was president. And when he died is when most people found out about it. And the man wrote the greatest declaration in Western civilization and never said, hey, everyone, that was me. I did it. And I said, you know, I want my son to learn that kind of humility. So What we always tried to do is find not just a great person, but the single moment that shows how great they are, where that greatness comes from. And that, to me, what the lesson is not about fame, as you said. It's not about how much money you make or whether you're an athlete and you can hit a lot of home runs. That's nonsense to me. It means nothing. But it's what we're all capable of, doing something incredible. And I really do believe that all of us are capable of that.
Yeah. And the book contains 52 subjects that you personally selected. I pulled out some of my favorites from the book, and I'd like to talk a little about those when we come back. We'll take a quick break. We're talking with one of my favorite authors, best-selling novelist and now best-selling nonfiction author, Brad Meltzer. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Dr. Michael Hollick is a leading professor of medicine, physiology, and biophysics. He's also an expert on one of the biggest epidemics in America, an issue that he says can be very quickly and easily remedied. Dr. Hollick brings the latest scientific findings to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair next Monday at noon Pacific. Join us to learn why the hormone we call vitamin D is so important to our health, including yours. That's coming next Monday at noon Pacific on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to brighten your day.
Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest today is Brad Meltzer. He is a New York Times number one best-selling author. He's had multiple books on the best-selling list, and his new book is a nonfiction book, a departure from his usual thriller suspense novels. It's a nonfiction book that he wrote for his son, although he has two sons now. But it's called Heroes for My Son. And Brad, I pulled out some of my favorite subjects from the book. One of the things that I saw when I was doing research for the show was that some people said, well, you know what? There's not a lot of detail about each of these people in the book. But others said, and I agree with this, you give enough detail, you give your perspective of what makes this person a hero, and it sparks discussion. Was that your intent?
That was the goal. You know, we had a publisher who said to me, you know, and just to be clear, I should tell your listeners, you know, every page, you know, every story is one page. So on the left-hand page is a picture of the hero, and on the right-hand page is just one story, like that Wright Brothers story, like that Thomas Jefferson story.
Yeah.
I just wanted it simple. And one of the editors who was looking at the book before we sold it said, you know, I want a full chapter on every hero. And I thought, you know, I don't need to compete with these biographies of the great people of America, from Eleanor Roosevelt to Jackie Robinson or Albert Einstein. That's not what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do that's different is I'm going to find the one moment you didn't know about this person, this one moment of greatness, to show you what each of us are capable of. And I think, to me, that was the real goal, because what happens as a result is, when you read it yourself or with anyone else, is you can't help but talk about the person, because you just get that nugget. So, you know, my favorite moment was recently I gave the book to my son, and he doesn't care. I said he could pick anyone he wanted. Now, this is the moment, right? It's called Heroes for My Son, and I'm presenting it to my son. This is it. And, of course, you know, in the moment of insanity, I'm waiting for him to tell me how inspired he is. And he stops. He stops on, of all people, not Muhammad Ali. He doesn't stop on Jackie Robinson. And he doesn't care about Rosa Parks or Eleanor Roosevelt. He stops on a guy named Roberto Clemente, who's a baseball player. And he's not in the book because of baseball. He's in the book because there was an earthquake in Nicaragua, and Roberto Clemente sent 3 plane loads of food and medicine over to Nicaragua. And what happened was is all 3 plane loads were confiscated. The food and medicine was confiscated. So he said, I'm so determined to get the 4th plane there, I'm going to get on the plane myself and make sure it gets there. And he did. The 4th plane went and crashed in the ocean, killing everyone on board, including Roberto Clemente. But he's not a hero because he died. He's a hero because of why he got on board. And so I'm reading it with my son, waiting for him to tell me how wonderful I am as a father. And he looks at me and he says, Dad, this is sad. And now I'm terrified that I've broken my son's heart for the first time. And the next night I put the heroes for my son aside. I don't even touch the book. And he comes into the room. My son jumps up on his bed, grabs the book on his own and says, who are we reading tonight, Dad? And I said to him, what about Roberto Clemente? He says, I like him. And I said, why? And he says, because he gave his life to save those people. And I realized in that moment that, you know, I was so worried about protecting my son and so worried that he was going to be harmed that he has the strength within him. And I didn't even give him a chance to show it. And that's exactly what the book's about. So there we were talking about Roberto Clemente. And I said, why do you like him? And he says, you know, he gave his life to save those people. That's such an amazing thing. It's such a strength that he, and the idea that that story is built into my son's chest now just makes me so happy. And that's what the book is really there for, is to be shared, is to spark discussion and let people say, tell me about this person more.
Right. And quite a learning experience for you, too, by the sound of it.
It really was. You know, I think as in any moment as a parent, we all realize that sometimes the greatest moments are complete and utter accidents. And I had this entire vision in my head of what this book was going to be. I never anticipated what it wound up being. And I can't tell you how many people have said to me, you know, we just had, I read it with my young kid, but I've had, you know, the Ask Amy National columnist said that this is the best book for graduating seniors of college and high school. I had a pastor tell me that every family should read Heroes for My Son around the dinner table and take a different hero every night. And I realized it's nothing that I've done. It's these amazing stories. It's these amazing people. And that's what people are reacting to. You know, we launched Heroes for My Son with a marketing budget of zero, an advertising budget of $0.
Right.
Zero, Vicki. $0. Right. And the book went to the number 2 spot on the bestseller list. And again, not because of me, it's because people are inspired by these amazing heroes and what they have to offer.
Yeah, and one of the things that I really liked was a couple of your subjects were actually the heroes behind the heroes that we hear about all the time. We hear about Helen Keller all the time. We don't hear about the teacher who taught her to read, who was also blind. And you share her story in the book.
Yeah, you know, you picked out We've Never Been Closer. Ann Sullivan's one of my favorite stories in the whole book. I knew the story of Helen Keller, and I knew Ann Sullivan taught her how to read. What I didn't know was that when Helen Keller went to college, Ann Sullivan spent 5 hours every day because there were no Braille books. She spent 5 hours finger writing in Helen Keller's palm out of the books, and that's how Helen Keller could read the book, is Ann Sullivan had to transcribe it in the palm of Helen Keller's hand. What I absolutely didn't know was that at the same time, Ann Sullivan's own eyesight was fading. And her doctor said to her, if you keep reading to this girl, you're going to risk going blind yourself. And Ann Sullivan said, I don't care. And she kept reading to her, and Helen Keller graduated college eventually, cum laude. And the idea that this woman would risk her own eyesight just for nothing more than the education of this girl is just so inspiring to me. It just blew me away. And that's a story I want everyone to hear. And that's a story that everyone who reads it goes, my gosh, I'm inspired now.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because we do hear about certain people frequently, and we forget there's nearly always a story behind their success there. One of the things that I like, we do a lot of health shows on this program, and Jonas Salk, and funnily enough, I heard about him very recently when I was in Europe. I saw a documentary about the guy who'd invented the polio vaccine, and it was very much like the story in your book that they said he did not take credit for inventing that vaccine. So tell us a little bit about him, because I thought he was remarkable when I saw him in the documentary, and then again when I saw him in your book.
Yeah, you know, what I love Jonas Salk for is, listen, you should be in the book just because you found the cure for polio and found the vaccine. But what I love the most about him is not even that he tested it first on himself, his own kids, not even that, you know, he would every time in the lab and the laboratory when he failed say, okay, you know, we have another success and we're going to keep going. But when they finally found the cure and they asked him who owns the patent on this vaccine, he said, why, nobody does. Could you patent the sun? And the idea that this man would give it up for free, this amazing vaccine, imagine a big pharmaceutical company doing that today.
Right.
And I just love that. I want my kids to hear that story. I want my dad and my mom to hear that story. I want them to hear that such a thing is possible still, because we forget those things.
Yeah. And that's what's so special about the stories in this book, because, again, it's not that you didn't select these people because they're famous or did something that made them famous. It's the actions behind the everyday actions. And what humility he must have had to have said that, too.
Yeah, you know, and you're hitting it. In my opinion, and you hit it on the head. You know, one of my favorite ones in there are the actions of the people you don't know about. There's a guy in there named Frank Shankwitz. And Frank Shankwitz is a police officer.
Yeah.
And Frank Shankwitz found out about a boy with leukemia who also wanted to be a police officer. And so he got the boy a little motorcycle uniform and a little motorcycle riding test. And as he was going to the boy's hospital room, the boy went into a coma. He brought little motorcycle wings to pin on the boy. And as he pinned them on the boy wakes up out of the coma and smiles. And eventually, the boy goes back into his coma and dies. But on the way back from the funeral, police officer Frank Shankwitz looks at his friend and says, you know, we made that kid really happy for just one day. We should do that for other kids. And that's how the Make-A-Wish Foundation is born.
Yeah, and how many people knew that, I wonder?
I mean, I can tell you right now, I didn't know it. I had no idea about it. I had no clue. And but I love that story. And again, I want everyone to hear that story. Frank Shankwitz has contacted me, you know, now the book's been out, and he's such a dear man, such an amazing person. And nobody knew the story of where it comes from. We all know Make-A-Wish, but to realize that I want everyone to know that when you have a good idea and you share it with one other person, that's how you change the world. And that's exactly what that story stands for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of my other favorites was Dan West. He was a relief worker. He was a relief worker in the Spanish Civil War, and he had to choose every day who was going to go hungry. Tell us about his cow story and how he became the founder of Heifer International.
Yeah, what he did is he basically came up with the idea of a very simple concept. He said, give them a cow, not a cup. And as a result, that's exactly what he did. He started giving people cows. And he would say his one rule was, is all you have to do is pass. When the cow gives birth, give that cow to another family. Play that forward. And he kept doing that. He's fed over 8 million people in dozens of countries on nothing more than that incredible idea of just giving someone a cow. And that just, again, is just one person. One person with a good idea feeds 8 million people.
Yeah, he said that, you quote him in the book, in all my travels around the world, the important decisions were made where people sat in a circle facing each other as equals. And I loved that. I thought that was really great.
Yeah, you know, and funny, those little quotes, those little things, they just inspire me. You know, when I was researching the book, I was, in a sense, reading someone else's life. And every time I would find that kind of story, I would personally be inspired. I would be blown away. I would go, how did I not know this story? How did I never hear it? And every day it would make me wake up a little bit more charged and make me more excited. And I just love that. To me, that's the best part of the book, is that it's not just reading biographies. In fact, it's not that at all. It's reading greatness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue talking with Brad Meltzer. He's a New York Times bestselling author and fiction and now nonfiction. And his latest book is called Heroes for My Son. We'll be right back.
There goes my hero. Watch him as he goes.
Do you love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping PAWS care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit PAWS.org or call 425-787-2500.
If you missed a show on Conversations Live, check out conversationslive.net for dozens of free podcasts. Topics range from health and healing to business and career growth, from personal development to creativity, adventure, and the challenges of the human spirit. See conversationslive.net for talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Conversationslive.net, making a difference one word at a time.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Yost, founder of The One Gathering. Join me at my Healing Happy Hour, July 9th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the High Spot Cafe. Take in appetizers, live music, tarot card readings, seated Reiki, and massage. Silent auction items as well. Cash bar provided and only $15 at the door. Proceeds go to The One Gathering in October. See you at my Healing Happy Hour, July 9th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the High Spot Cafe. For more details, visit theonegathering.com.
Hi, I'm Andrea Kay, America's leading career expert. I know it's going to be a great conversation when Vicki St. Clair asked me to offer my career advice on her show. Vicki asks thoughtful questions, she's thorough, she works hard to bring you great guests who walk their talk with information and solutions that can lift your career and better your life so that you'll live well, live strong. My advice? Tune in to our conversations and all the interviews on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair for thought-provoking insight and tips on the things that really matter in your life. And visit AndreaKay.com, that's Andrea, K-A-Y.com, for information about my books and loads of free practical advice and inspiration for your career.
Proud to bring variety to your radio dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest today is Brad Meltzer. He's the New York Times bestselling author of The Book of Fate, number one New York Times bestselling author, and numerous other books that are also bestsellers. His new book is a nonfiction book. It's called Heroes for My Son, and that made it to number two of the New York Times bestsellers list. And I want to talk just a little bit about some of your other work, Brad, because you've been a very prolific author. You also write for... You've been involved in co-creating the TV show Jackie and Bobby. You're very much into comic books. What's your favorite kind of thing to do?
You know, I know what I've realized, and it's taken me 12 years to figure it out. You know what I love doing? What I've never done before. And that's it. I realized over, someone said, you know, you write thrillers and you write mysteries that take place in the secret tunnels over the White House. And I say, yeah, I love doing that. And then when I finished with that, I said, oh, I love writing nonfiction. And they said, I love writing comics. I love writing TV shows. You know, and it's just one of those things where it's not that I just love doing everything, but I like trying something I've never tried before and then seeing if I'm going to fail. And I just think for me that struggle matters. You know, it's kind of like saying, director, would you want to direct romantic comedies the rest of your life? No, I'd want to direct every kind of movie. I'd want to do sci-fi and I'd want to do action-adventure and I'd want to try romance and I'd want to try a thriller. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel about myself creatively. I just want to constantly push myself because if I don't, and Vicki, you know this, you're mm-hmm. going to wind up being one of those people. You know, you've read books of people you like, and then you read like the sixth or seventh one, and you go, oh my gosh, they're completely phoning it in at this point.
Right.
And that's my biggest fear as a writer. I never want to be that guy. I never want to be the person who just hates what they're doing and phones it in. So between every novel, I always take on a new project. And this time it was a nonfiction book. Sometimes it's a TV show. We're doing a TV show on the History Channel come October called Brad Meltzer's Decoded. And why?
Say that again, Brad. What's it called?
It's called Brad Meltzer's Decoded, which is, I guess, the most ridiculous title of all because it has my name above the title. And I tell my wife all the time now, you know, I say, what are we having for Brad Meltzer's dinner tonight? Because yesterday we had Brad Meltzer's chicken, and You know, tomorrow I'd like to have Brad Meltzer's pasta. So Brad Meltzer's Decoded, which will decode different things throughout history, is going to launch in October. But again, it was just something that I'd never tried and never done, and I wanted to.
I think that's amazing. And I think maybe part of your success is that you are willing to try. And you said earlier, even willing to fail. I have to tell you, I loved what you did. Your last book didn't go down so well with certain critics. And so you made a parody of that and put it on your website, which I thought was brilliant.
We had so much fun with it. It wasn't even just the last book. It's every book. It was all the different reviews from every bad review I've ever gotten. And we put them all together from the New York Times, from Entertainment Weekly, from USA Today. We put them all together on one thing and then just ran them. And it was the most freeing experience. And I can't tell you how many other famous authors contacted me and said, my gosh, I'd be terrified to do that. And I said, just try. Just try. Embrace it. You'll be so happy you did.
Well, yeah, I think if listeners want to check it out, the video, you said the young and the old agree. They all hate Brad Meltzer. It was really funny. And I think also a lesson in how to handle rejection, because we all have to face rejection on some level, right?
That's it. You know, and I always say, just because a review says that I'm great doesn't mean I'm great. And just because it says I'm terrible doesn't mean I'm terrible. And I don't think for any, I've had signings where I've had two people come to them, and I've had signings where I've had two people come to them, and they're two friends.
Right.
But again, just because I have a full room doesn't mean I'm the greatest author of all time, and just because I have a nobody come doesn't mean I'm the worst author. So to me, it's about just embracing and accepting ourselves for who we are. I mean, if you look in Heroes for My Son, people always say that the big lesson there is about not giving up, and I think that's one of them. But to me, what really the lesson that ties all the heroes together is accepting yourself for who you are.
Mm.
From Lucille Ball's story, all these people over and over, they're just Oprah Winfrey that's in there. It's about accepting yourself for who we are. And that's a lesson that not just that our children need to know, but we need to know. It's one that we forget about ourselves.
Yeah, and I had Lucille Ball on my shortlist here because she said, love yourself first and everything falls into line. And we know from little bits that I've read about her that she didn't have it wasn't particularly easy rise. She was a woman in the industry when women weren't really in the industry. There weren't women studio heads back then, were there?
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, no, there wasn't. I mean, the idea that a TV show was being run by a Cuban-American and a woman was unheard of, much less the fact that they owned the show. But what I loved the most about Lucy, I used to watch her reruns with my grandparents, and when I looked into her life, I found that she lived with a grandmother who was so miserable, she used to think that happiness was a sin. She allowed no mirrors in the house except for the bathroom, because she thought they would lead to vanity. And she, Lucy had no friends. Lucille Ball had no friends. She used to play in a chicken coop of all places. And she used to learn to make funny faces by smiling in her reflection in trolley cars.
Mm.
And it's the greatest lesson of Lucille Ball's young life and the greatest lesson of I Love Lucy every episode, and that is that humor can take on anything, any problem, anything is humor. And I can teach my kids that. I can tell them those words, but it's like telling your child to be good and expect them to be good. You can't just do that.
Right, right. I loved also Paul Newman that you talked about in the book. He said that he'd like to be remembered as a guy who tried. And you talked about this earlier about, trying to be the best and stretching, and in your own work, stretching to do new things too. And I found it interesting that of all the things that he'd like to be remembered for, I'd like to be remembered as a guy who tried.
I mean, and that's it, really. I mean, isn't that what we all want? It's not about, if you fail, you fail, right? And you have the failure and you live with the failure. But let me tell you something. There's nothing more haunting or more damaging than when you don't try. I don't care. If you fail all the time, it doesn't matter. And it goes back to my favorite hero in the book, and it's my mother. My mom died 2 years ago from breast cancer, and she was the reason I really decided to finish Heroes for My Son. And a couple years back, my publisher was shutting down. I didn't know if anyone was going to take over my contract, and I thought it was the end of my career. And I was so scared, I called my mom to tell her. And my mom said to me, I'd love you if you were a garbage man.
Mm.
And it wasn't anything she practiced. She wasn't taking a crack at garbage men. My uncle, her brother, was a garbage man. But what she was saying was, I don't care if you're an author. I don't care if you're the king. I don't care if you're any job. I love you. And to this day, every day that I sit down to write, I say those words to myself. I'd love you if you were a garbage man, just soaking in that purity of my mom's love. And I'll tell you that that's vital to me. But for your readers, I mean, and your listeners, the best pages in the book are going to be the last two pages. They're blank. And they say, your hero's photo here and your hero's story here. And I promise you, you take a picture of your father, your grandfather, your mom, or your grandmother, your wife. You put them in this book, and you write one sentence about something that they've done that's nice for you, and I promise you that will be the most beautiful page in Heroes for My Son. And it just reminds people to stretch and to try and to do, and that's what I think we forget to do these days, is we forget to say thank you for being my hero.
I know. I just came back from a trip, part of which I took with my mother. We went to Norway together, and she has Parkinson's disease and can do almost nothing for herself anymore. She has to be dressed and bathed, and sometimes I even fed her when she was very tired. And I looked at her one night when she was sleeping, and I just thought how beautiful she was and how courageous she was, because so many people just wouldn't even try at that stage. And I just it fills me up just thinking about it. But she's definitely one of my heroes.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, that's it, right? I mean, we all know Martin Luther King Jr., and we all know Rosa Parks, but there's nothing, absolutely nothing, like the heroes who we grow up with and who we live with on a daily basis, our moms and our dads and our grandparents and the military members of our families. Those are amazing heroes because they are the first heroes we have.
Right. You said, your mother said, actually, every time you had a child on the birth of each of your three children, she said to you, now you'll understand how I love you. Now, you started this when you had your first son. Your question was, what kind of man do I want him to be? And you said that now you have three children, you realize you don't have a lot of say in actually what
yeah.
they'll be. So how has your perception changed there?
You know, what I realized, and I realized this as my mom passed, and it's sad that it took me that to realize it, but I realized that the key ingredient to being a good parent, for all my kind of posturing and trying to give my son the perfect piece of advice and all the other things I was trying to give him, the very number one thing, the only important thing you have to do for your child is love them. It's to love them with every fiber of your being and let them always know that you love them. That's all my mom did. My mom wasn't super educated. She was, you know, she didn't go to college. She didn't do any of that stuff. But man, my mom loved me more than any mother ever walked this earth.
Mm.
And that was it. And people always say, you know, I went to Borders headquarters a couple years ago, and they said to me, guess where your books sell more than anywhere else? Straight sales, not even per capita, just straight out sales. And I said, well, that's easy. New York City, there's 8 million people in one small area. No. I said, okay, Washington, D.C. I write thrillers and mysteries about Washington, D.C. No. The number one place where my books sold were in Boca Raton, Florida, 1 mile from the furniture store where my mother used to work. Okay? That means my mother single-handedly beat 8 million New Yorkers. And you know what? That's exactly how it should be. You know, my dad still goes into the Barnes & Noble and goes every week and goes, yes, is Brad Meltzer's new book here? Because Brad Meltzer is my favorite author. And they're like, Mr. Meltzer, we know he's your son. We know he's your son. We know who you are. You're in here every week. We get it. And that's, you know, that's where I grew up. And it goes back to even Heroes for My Son. On the day that I was born, and I rarely tell this story, but on the day I was born, my dad went to the liquor store, and he bought a bottle of champagne. And he said, I'm going to open this champagne up on the day that my son Brad gets married. And my dad wasn't a big planner. This was like the only plan he ever had. But when he was 40 years old, my dad lost his job, and he started his life over from scratch. He had no money. He had $1,200 to his name, no job. We moved to Florida, and we drove from New York to Florida. And what you put in the moving van when you move is your stuff. Right? We all know what it's like to put your stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
But what you put and you keep in your car so that the movers can't touch, what you put there is your life. And the one thing I remember when we drove from Florida from New York was behind the headrest behind my sister and my little headrest in the back seat with two bottles of champagne, one for me and one for my sister. And that was my parents' world. That was their life. It was us. And sure enough, when I got married, on the day I got married, at the wedding, we broke open that bottle of champagne and opened it. And I can tell you, Vicky, it was the worst, foulest, horrible glass of champagne of all time. No, you know, we didn't know anything about taking care of champagne, but it was the greatest glass of champagne ever because it was over 20 years in the making. Mm-hmm. And that was a beautiful thing to me. And you know, when it came to Heroes for My Son, I don't communicate with champagne. I'm a storyteller. I know how to tell a story. That's what I know how to do. And so I just wrote a book. Now, and it was no different than what my dad did for me, but it was just the only way I know how to communicate. And that's the way I can say I love you to my son.
Yeah, what a great way. Well, we're almost at the end of our segment, Brad. You said we're all who we are until we, until that moment we strive for something greater. Talk to us a little bit about that.
You know, I'm working on a new novel right now that comes out in January. And it's called The Inner Circle. And there's a moment in The Inner Circle where one of the characters is talking about history and how history just kind of selects certain people for certain things. And then another character says that's not how history works. History doesn't select just some people. History selects each of us, every one of us, every day. And the only question is do you hear it calling? Hmm. And that's how I feel. I feel like when we look at the great moments in life, of great people, big people, small people. The one thing that's true is there is no such thing as an ordinary person. And I think those moments, the moments that, listen, I'm not going to be Thomas Jefferson. I know I will never be Thomas Jefferson. I know that I will never be capable of writing the Declaration of Independence. I'm not going to be president. But you know what? I can be capable of great humility. And I know I'm never going to find the cure for polio, but I can be a vessel for great kindness to people. And I know that I'm never going to, find, like Einstein did, a new theory of relativity, but I can question authority. And I think those aspects are in all of us. And I think it's just a matter of on that one day accepting that we can have that greatness within us, that's where you find the greatness. And I think we all every day have to strive for that.
Yeah. Well, I thank you so much for being with us today. We're having a lot of kickback on the connection here, so I hope that listeners caught most of that. But I wanted to just say that it's been a pleasure talking with you, and I'm personally looking forward to The Inner Circle coming out in January 2011. And having talked with you, I'm sure I'll enjoy it even more. What would you like to leave our listeners with today, Brad?
You know what? Let me say the most important thing that I can ever say anywhere, and that is simply to say thank you. That's all that matters, right? I mean, I love that people go and buy the books. I love that they want to share these books with the people they love. I love that people say, I'm going to take Heroes for My Son and make it my new baby gift for anyone who has a new baby. I love all that. My publisher wants me to say all that. But you know what? All I want to say is thank you to people for, like yourself, who support those novels and support all the other things that allow me to try something different and allow me to try something new. That's how I get to find my thing within myself. And so I really appreciate it, Vicky, and I appreciate what you do for everyone out there, leaving that positive message in their heads every day. It does. It changes the world. And you don't know how, and they're never going to tell you how, but you're affecting it. You really are. And one day some listener is going to call you up and tell them the thing that they were inspired to do by you, and that's going to be the great moment for you.
Well, I thank you. I thank you back. And let's leave our listeners with a website where they can find out more about you and your books, Brad.
Sure. They can go to bradmeltzer.com, but they can also go to heroesformyson.com, and we're on Facebook as well. And I think my favorite part there is you can submit your own hero. You can take that hero from your family, whether it's someone in the military or a grandparent or a parent or someone who's been fighting cancer, and tell us their story. And my goal is to really take those stories and hopefully use the best ones in the next book we do. And that's what Heroes for My Son is all about, is celebrating all those heroes that are around us every day and reminding us that they're there every day.
Okay. Thank you so much for being with us, and good luck. Good luck with this book, and you've already made it with this book, but good luck with your next one, too.
Thanks, Vicky. Look forward to chatting again.
And please stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, my guest there, Brad Meltzer. You can find out more about Brad at bradmeltzer.com or heroesformyson.com. Please stay with us.
And a working class hero is something to me.
Intuitive dream coach Joyce Chapman says there are no little dreams, that every desire is important, and that you deserve life to its fullest. As a dream activist, Joyce has helped thousands of people gain clarity about their lives and make positive changes. She can help you too. See more information at joycechapman.com. And if you have a question for Joyce regarding your dream, email joyce@joycechapman.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150. Dr. Michael Hollick is a leading professor of medicine, physiology, and biophysics. He's also an expert on one of the biggest epidemics in America, an issue that he says can be very quickly and easily remedied. Dr. Hollick brings the latest scientific findings to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair next Monday at noon Pacific. Join us to learn why the hormone we call vitamin D is so important to our health, including yours. That's coming next Monday at noon Pacific on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to help you live well, live strong.
Get current weather, traffic, and news. Visit 1150kknw.com and stay informed with Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
And welcome back. Well, I hope you managed to catch most of that interview with Brad Meltzer. We did have a terrific kickback problem at some point during the show because I guess Brad was in the middle of an electrical storm, and there's nothing we can do about that, unfortunately.
Yeah, sometimes you get that with cell phones, unfortunately. But I think he came across pretty clearly. We were just getting a little bit of echo here and there. So
Yeah. But you can find out more about him at bradmeltzer.com and heroesformyson.com anyway. And I wanted to just get this in before we go today. We'll have a little chat in a minute. But I wanted to just remind everyone about the Healing Happy Hour that is coming up on July 9th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the High Spot Cafe. Do you know where the High Spot Cafe is, Eric?
I don't.
I think it's in Medina. I think it's in Medina, but I could be wrong. But it's at the High Spot Cafe. Jennifer Yost is the host, and she is the lady who puts together the founder of theonegathering.com. You can find out more at theonegathering.com, and the one is spelled out T-H-E-O-N-E, the onegathering.com website. And Jennifer's going to have appetizers, tarot card readings, seated Reiki, a massage, silent auction items, and a cash bar at the Healing Happy Hour July 9th.
And that is in Madrona, as you say, at 1410 34th Avenue.
Okay, very good. July 9th, 7 to 9 p.m., High Spot Cafe. So if you've ever been to the One Gathering or are interested in learning more about it and becoming part of Jennifer's movement, the gathering, she says be a part of the wave of light in Seattle, shifting consciousness together. I know this is something that Jennifer's very, very passionate about. I think this is the third year it's running, but she's very passionate about it, has a very strong vision for where she wants to take this program, and it sounds like an interesting get together for people. And you can find out more at theonegathering.com. And I wanted to thank you for holding the fort while I was gone, Eric. It was good to get away and not have to think about things, because I did a lot of pre-recordings before I went. So we'd have mostly new shows while I was gone. And I was having literally 17-hour days before I left.
That's always the thing. You end up working twice as much to make up for the time you're going to be away, you know?
I know. And everyone keeps saying, are you rested? Well, I was it was different. Well, I'll just say it was different.
Sometimes you need a vacation from your vacation when you get back. But unfortunately, most of us don't have the time to do that, you know?
Yeah, and with jet lag as well. It doesn't bother me so much going that way, but coming back here, I always want to go to bed at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm.
And because I've had this week off, I've been doing that. And so then I've been waking up at 2:30 every morning, which is not good. It's not good. And you're off next week.
I am off next week. Yeah. Headed back to Missouri to see some family. So.
And what are you going to do there? Apart from see family.
That's about it, actually. I have grandparents that live in a very small town of Trenton, Missouri. Not New Jersey, and you know, they're kind of they're getting up there in age, so it's good to see them now, you know. But they aren't really up for much activity, so it's going to be a lot of.
How old are they?
Oh, you know, I don't know, to tell you the truth, but they're in the late 80s, I believe. So, yeah.
Good age.
Yeah.
Well, your mom was in here earlier. You should have brought her in. We'd have her on the show. She could have told us all your dark secrets.
there's not too many of those, so.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, sorry. Most of my secrets are pretty light, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I really liked this book that we talked about today, Heroes for My Son.
It sounded fascinating. I have to check that out.
It is. And the reason I liked, I liked the people he picked, really.
Right.
I thought some of the people were just amazing. But I have a whole new generation in my family that I got to see for the first time when I went back this year.
Uh-huh.
Alaska Rose is 4, so I have seen her. But Miley Blue and Joshua Dillon are just 12 months old, so I haven't seen either of those. And so it was really... It's kind of nice. It's very strange when you go back and you're Auntie Bebe, but they don't know who you are.
Right.
And the eldest one kept calling me Catherine for the first week, first day. And then she was playing me up. And yeah. it was quite amazing. But I thought this would make a wonderful gift, even though it says Heroes for My Son.
Right.
It would make a wonderful gift for Joshua.
Could be heroes for anyone.
But it
really
could be heroes for anyone. Yeah. And it made me think about what I want to write, because I wrote a book for my first set of nieces and nephews. It made me think about what I want to write for the next generation, now that I'm great Auntie Bebe. I'm not great Auntie Bebe. I'm just great Auntie Bebe.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes left in the show, and you kind of touched on the fact that you were gone. But can you tell us a little bit about the trip? Because you were gone for like a month, so you must have gone places.
I went to England, had a couple of days there packing up my mom's suitcase and stuff, and then we went on a cruise to Norway. She's as I said earlier, she's in a wheelchair, can do very, very little for herself, a lot less now than she could even last time I was there. But her spirit is phenomenal. Oh, my God, her spirit is phenomenal. And so we went on a cruise to Norway. I told her, pick anywhere you want and we'll go. And she called me up one day and said, I want to go to Norway and I want to go on a cruise. And I was like, okay, not somewhere I would have picked myself, but you know, I could live there. I loved Norway.
Yeah.
I loved the city of Bergen. It's a very small city, just 250,000 people, extends to 500,000, you know, in the surroundings. But it was so hip and contemporary. It had a really great energy about it. Very beautiful, because it's at the end of a fjord. So you've got loads of water around you. You've got incredible mountains right there. And I just loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. One of the places that I'd like to visit at some point. You know, I think I caught a taste of that by visiting Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
And so definitely like to check out some of the other Scandinavian countries.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, because mom's in a wheelchair, the only trip that we could take off the cruise, we got off the ship at every port, but the only trip we could take was to the oil museum, and we were both like, the oil museum? But you know what? I have to tell you, it was really interesting. So there's, you know, you stay open, you never know. I actually really enjoyed learning more about that. Anyway, we have to go today. It's great to be back with you all, and thanks again to Eric and everyone for hanging in there and putting things together the last month, and I will see you next week. Please, I was going to say, please stay with us. Right. Please stay with us. Somebody else is coming now. Bye.
That's right.